Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to Sleeping Giants, the East Anglian Daily Times and Ipswich Stars sports podcast. The transfer window has now closed and Ipswich made 7 signings during January, though none of them have really inspired the imagination in the way Town fans were probably hoping for. Add to that a 1-1 draw with Preston and the dismal 3-0 home defeat at the hands of Derby County, and you could say it wasn't a great end to the month for the Blues. I'm joined by our chief football writer, Stuart Watson, to mull over everything from January. We'll start with Preston. Stuart, should Ipswich have got more from that game?
I think probably on reflection, a draw was about the right result, but obviously bitterly disappointing to concede the goal with a minute to go. And of course, it had to be Jordan Hugo, a transfer target, who got it. But overall, plenty of positives to take from that game. I thought Ipswich looked pretty organised. For the first time in a while, it looked like the players were really playing for Mick McCarthy, and I thought it was a decent performance to build upon. But of course, as has been tradition this season, one step forward is followed by two steps back, and then we get that dismal, as you say, performance and result against Derby in midweek.
We caught a glimpse of some of Town's new signings back in that Preston match. I believe Tumana Diagaraga and Kiefer Moore both played a small part. None of them were there for the full 90 minutes. What did you make of their first outings for the club?
Encouraged by both of them so far. I thought Diagaraga is just what the midfield's been missing. He's big, he's powerful, he's strong, but he can also handle the ball pretty well, and he's pretty positive with his passing in terms of forward passing. So encouraged by him. That was his first senior appearance in 6 months, so understandably tired and came off after an hour. He was obviously rested in midweek and almost certainly will go straight back into the starting lineup against Reading tomorrow. Kiefer Moore, I've been very pleasantly surprised with when you hear that Ipswich have signed a 6-foot-6-inch striker from non-league who wasn't getting in Forest Green's team not that long ago. You have to say you're not holding your breath for anything too special. But do you know what? He's not looked out of place at all. He's had 3 cameo appearances now since he's come on, and has done really well. He's held the ball up. He's attacked everything in the air, and he's created problems for the opposition. So I wouldn't be completely surprised to see him get a start as well.
Oh, the other player, of course, I think we should mention as a new signing we've had a glimpse of, not to leave anyone out, is Jordan Spence, of course, as well. Most people probably say that Josh Emmanuel, is a little bit unlucky to have lost his place sort of on the right wing. The fans quite like seeing him as a young player from the academy. But how's Spence been handling himself sort of in that right back, sort of right wing back slot?
Yeah, as you say, Josh Emmanuel can feel hard done by to have lost his place. I thought he was steadily improving, and he needs game time to sort of learn and grow as a player. Mick McCarthy said that Josh was mentally and physically tired after playing Saturday, Tuesday, which he's not used to. I'm not sure I completely buy that. He's 19 years old. I think he should probably be able to handle that. But we don't see them in training, and Mick felt that he had Jordan Spence as an option, and he did really well on his debut, you have to say, at Huddersfield, even though they lost there. I thought he looked very athletic. He handled the ball pretty well. He reminds me a little bit of Tyrone Mings in terms of being quite an athletic sort of fullback who gets up and down. So he did pretty well. I guess it will now be a toss up between him and Josh Emmanuel. I think they'll probably rotate in that right back, right wing back role for the remainder of the season.
And I suppose that's quite a good thing for Town fans as well, because what they've been crying out for most of this season is for that right back slot to be, or the problem in that right back slot to be solved, because obviously, as we know, for the last few years, Chambers has been filling in that spot. He's done reasonably well considering he's a converted centre back, but certainly in the last few months it's become quite obvious that what Town really need is a right back, and now it appears they've got one for here and now in Jordan Spence, and hopefully one for the future in Josh Emmanuel.
Yeah, it looks that way. The whole sort of Luke Chambers debacle has blown up this week with the interest from Forest on deadline day. Very messy situation. It's pretty clear that Luke wanted to go. I think he was offered a 3-year contract from what we understand from Forest, chance to go back to his former club. Ipswich have stalled on offering him a new deal, and Mick McCarthy told us in the press conference that Luke Chambers isn't going to be his right back for the next 2 or 3 years. So it's pretty clear that they're trying to address that troublesome position going forwards. So yeah, I guess exactly what you've said. You've got a couple of players there vying for that slot for the longer term future. I mean, Spence is on a short term deal, but he's got a bit of pedigree. He came through at West Ham. He had a few appearances in the Premier League early on in his career. A former England youth team international, so he's got a chance of earning a deal.
We'll move on to Derby now, and we'll come back to the transfers, the ins and outs, and the potential ins and outs later on as well. Derby was dreadful. There's no sort of getting away from that. Well, in certainly the first half, I think, was pretty dreadful. It sounded like things improved in the second half, but what on earth happened?
Two goals down inside 12 minutes, and it's done and dusted, really. Just a stunned silence, I think, sort of fell upon Portman Road. From Derby's perspective, they were both well-taken goals. Certainly Tom Ince's goal on the angle in the 12th minute was pretty special, but just knocked the stuffing out of Ipswich early on, creators of their own downfall, as they have been so often this season. Just too slow to close down. All three goals, really, was just sort of sluggishness in that respect, and left themselves a huge mountain to climb that they were never going to come back from, really. It got better as the game went on, but I think part of that was to do with Derby knowing that they'd done the hard part. They were then quite happy to sit off Ipswich, be organised, be hard to break down, and then look to be a threat on the counter attack, which they always were. So, just a terrible start, and with the way Ipswich's confidence is at the moment, they were never ever going to get back into it.
And we know February is going to be a tough month with the run of fixtures they've got, and we're sort of throwing sort of January the 31st in there as well. It's not a good omen for what we've got coming up in the next sort of 4 weeks or so, really, is it?
No, I mean, a few weeks ago, when people started talking about potential relegation scrap, I was fairly dismissive of that, to be honest. Even when things weren't going particularly well, I always felt that Mick McCarthy, Ipswich Town side, would scrap out enough points here and there. And yes, they've been Jekyll and Hyde, but there are the odd the win against Bristol City, the win against Blackburn, and the draw against Preston. They were going to keep picking up enough points not to get dragged into it. But the way things have been going, and the fixtures coming up, as you say, it's not inconceivable for them to pick up hardly any points in these next few games. Reading are flying in third on Saturday. You've got Villa, Leeds, Brighton, Norwich all coming up on the horizon. And if that negative momentum really kicks in, then I think they could get dragged into something at the moment. Teams around them have strengthened in January. Nottingham Forest have really gone for it, who are closely placed to them in the table, signing someone like Ross McCormack. QPR have picked up some players as well. Even Burton have been given the boost of Nigel Clough staying, and they got Michael Keightley. Rotherham are the only team that are cut adrift, and Ipswich aren't out of this at the moment. Especially, it's not just the performances, it's also the instability of Mick McCarthy repeatedly saying he's going to look at his future in the summer. He's pretty fed up with perhaps some of the negativity surrounding him at the moment. And you've got the whole Luke Chambers situation as well. Your captain, regardless of what you say about Luke Chambers and his ability as a player and whatever formation, whatever position he's played in, you cannot underestimate the leadership role that he plays behind the scenes. And he's integral in that dressing room. All the players go to him. He's the go-between manager and dressing room. And if he's unsettled and unhappy, I think that could have a pretty negative effect on the rest of the team as well. Likewise, Christoph Bauer, it's pretty clear that he's moving on in the summer as well. So, bit of a mess really, to be honest, heading into a pretty tough run of fixtures. And I'm concerned that even though I think the summer might be a good time to have a bit of a freshen up at the club, things could unravel pretty quickly before then.
We'll move on to Reading then, and having seen what Derby can do to Ipswich at Portman Road, Reading, they're higher placed in the table above them. They're in third at the moment. It's not looking good for Saturday at the moment, is it?
No, and the atmosphere is not helping at the moment. It's understandable. I think Ipswich fans have actually been pretty damn good, given the general malaise about the place, and we're talking 12 to 18 months of nothingness for them, really. And they've proven that they will get behind the team if they're given something to get behind, and they did do in the Bristol City and the Blackburn games. But Tuesday night, those two early goals just sort of knocked the stuffing out of everybody, really. And the overwhelming feeling that I had towards the end of the game was just one of sadness, really, because with 20 minutes to go, a hell of a lot of people were leaving. I mean, officially the attendance was 14,700 something, which is the lowest in just over 17 years for a league game at Portman Road. It would have been a hell of a lot lower than that, because of course it officially counts season ticket holders whether they're there or not, and many of them clearly are staying away. So it was just sort of sad to see that apathy gripping the club at the moment. There was no great reaction at the end, because I think there was just an air of resignation about the place at the moment, and that's just sad to see. So if Reading get an early goal on Saturday, you know, it's going to be very, very difficult for Ipswich to come back at the moment. But the only hope is that the players that we've mentioned, the new signings, and of course McGoldrick and Bishop coming back from injury, just are going to freshen the place up a little bit, and it might keep one or two people on their toes that have maybe thought that, you know, their position in the team was safe regardless, and that might freshen things up. No, worrying times, as I say.
We'll move back to the transfers then, and sort of mostly the players that we've not spoken about so far. We've obviously discussed Igaraga and Spence and a little bit of more, but the two lads that came in on transfer deadline day, both loans, Emma Hughes from Cardiff and Dominic Samuel from Reading. Obviously Samuel can't play this weekend against his parent club, but what do you know about those two players, and do you think they are going to be able to bring something to Ipswich which will maybe make the football more exciting, or even just bring a few wins to the table?
I can't say I know too much about Dominic Samuel. I think he had a brief loan spell at Colchester actually a little while back, but he's a young striker, highly rated. There were several championship clubs after him apparently, and he's opted to come to Ipswich, more of a sort of a target man. Ipswich obviously had a lot of strikers ahead of him on their wanted list, weren't able to get someone for money, and have kind of turned to him as a backup option. Emir Hughes, I'm pretty excited about actually. He's always impressed me whenever I've seen him play at various different loan clubs, Huddersfield, Birmingham. He was at Wigan permanently as well. He's a Welsh international. Very highly rated when he first came through the Man City youth team. They were talking about him being sort of the next big thing at one stage. His career's not quite sort of taken off the way that people expected, but I think he'll be a very good signing. He's a creative, he's box to box, he covers a lot of ground, but he's very creative as well. Can you know, good movement, can pick a pass, and I think he might be one that just lifts the crowd a bit. And of course fans love him already, because it's just come out today that he's actually paying some of his own wages, or certainly probably a better way of putting it is he's taken a hefty pay cut to come here. Obviously the two clubs agree what percentage of wages get paid by Cardiff and what get paid by Ipswich. I don't think they could quite agree, so he's stepped in at the last minute and said he'll pick up the shortfall just so he can come out here and get game time. So those are the sort of characters that Ipswich need at the moment, people that are hungry, people that want to play. It's the same with Stephen Taylor. I was impressed with him in his press conference, certainly. I think he'll add a bit of leadership and experience at a difficult time as well. So, as I say, the hope is that you know, these sort of players are going to lift the mood.
And do you expect Hughes to go straight into the starting lineup this weekend, or at least make an appearance?
I'm not sure he'll go straight into the team, because he's only arrived, you know, the deal happened late on Tuesday. I think he'll have only had a couple of training sessions with his team. He's not had a great deal of football this season, because he's only had one league start, I think, for Cardiff. So they might sort of have him as an option on the bench, but I think he'll probably be in the starting lineup sooner rather than later. I've got the feeling that Mick might return to 4-4-2. It worked really well up at Preston. I just thought they looked like the Mick McCarthy of old sort of team. They were very organised, hard to break down, and I was surprised that he suddenly abandoned that and went back to wing backs. He can't sort of make his mind up on formations at the moment. I think at the moment he should just go back to basics, 4-4-2. And see where they go from there, which would mean if Tom Lawrence is fit, I think he'd be on the left. Grant Ward was one of the brighter spots from Tuesday night. He did well coming off the bench, so I think he'll probably go back on the right as he did at Preston. Diagaraga and Skuse is the two central midfielders, and he might then change it about up front a bit. As I say, I think Moore might get a start, and I think McGoldrick might get his first start following injury as well after a couple of sub appearances.
Going back quickly to the transfer, or the loan transfer for Hughes, I think it was interesting in the piece that you've put up on our website today that Neil Warnock was saying that it was actually a swap deal that he was looking at getting for Hughes. Now, was that a swap deal for an Ipswich player? And he was saying in that as well that the player was injured, which was why it wasn't actually a swap deal. And do we know who that player was that he was after? Or do we think we know? Rough area.
Yeah, I think... reading between the lines, I can't say I know this for certain, but it's pretty likely that it would have been Leon Best. Leon Best played quite a big role in the Great Escape under Warnock at Rotherham last season. Warnock actually sort of recommended him to Mick McCarthy back in the summer before he'd gone to Cardiff, obviously. And as you say, referenced in that interview that it was a player that he was going to do a swap with, but then an injury sort of occurred. Now, we know that Leon's got to undergo a sort of a minor groin operation, something that he's been putting off for a while. So putting two and two together and perhaps coming up with five, but I would have thought it would have been Leon Best. That would have been the obvious player.
And then sticking with that, two and two makes five, just for a moment. Could that possibly pave the way for a permanent deal for Hughes in the summer if Warnock is A, still at Cardiff,
yeah,
B, Mick McCarthy's still at Ipswich, and C, he's still after Leon Best?
Yeah, as you say, plenty of things that have got to fall into place, but I think Warnock's made it pretty clear that he's not part of his future at Cardiff. So who knows, there might be something even written into the deal now. A lot of the deals that happen on deadline day tend to go through as loans to start with, just because I think it's so late in the day. I think there's less paperwork involved and they're easier to do as a loan. You know, Ross McCormack going to Forest, Jordan Rhodes as well going to Sheffield Wednesday. I mean, that's a loan deal, but technically it's a permanent deal in the summer lined up. So there might be something in place along those lines for Emir Hughes, but I think that if it works well for all parties, then I think there's a very good chance of that becoming permanent.
There we go. And so hopefully something to look forward to for Town fans a little bit later on, towards the end of the season, regardless of what else happens between now and then. Just popping back to Kiefer Moore again quickly. We're saying that he's coming from non-league, essentially. Couldn't get into the Forest Green Rovers team. Yeah, he's coming. Played a handful of minutes for Town, and he seemed to hold himself fairly well there, and we're even talking about him possibly getting a start this weekend. How on earth does that happen, that a player is playing at a non-league side that he can't get into, and someone has clearly spotted something and told Mick McCarthy that this lad could do a job for Ipswich Town, and suddenly he's playing in the Championship?
Yes, I think sometimes it's a case of being in the right place at the right time and being seen by the right people. Mick McCarthy's recruitment, if you look through a lot of the players that he's got, they've either been players he's worked with before or players that have played well against him. You know, Adam Webster for Portsmouth in the Cup, and Kiefer Moore, I think, is always stuck in his mind since Ipswich went down to Yeovil a few years ago on a Tuesday night. And I remember that game mainly for Tom Lawrence, who really caught my eye that night. And of course, I think Mick's had him in mind ever since. But Kiefer Moore was at Yeovil at that time, and he came on and he hit the post from the edge of the box, and that's obviously sort of lodged in Mick's mind, whether he's got a little black book and he's written Kiefer Moore down and he sort of flicked back through it in recent times, I don't know. Yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it? I mean, Forest Green have been spending silly money by non-league standards, and perhaps they needed to get him off the wage bill at one stage, and he went on loan to Torquay, his hometown club, and scored a load of goals for them just before Christmas, and suddenly he's available and he's not looked out of place, as I say. So it's strange, isn't it? We're seeing it more and more with non-league players now. You know, the Jamie Vardy story, I think, has captured everyone's imaginations. Ricky Lambert before that perhaps the gap between the National League and even up to the Championship now isn't as great as people once thought it was. So listen, I hope he does really well, because it's always really nice when you get those sort of fairy tale stories, and as we've seen with Tyrone Mings as well. So hopefully he'll do well, and hopefully Danny Rowe, looking forward to seeing him. You know, a lot of talk about how Ipswich haven't spent money, but I understand that's $100,000 for him from Macclesfield, which is a pretty decent fee for a player at that level. So looking at his highlights reel, he looks quite exciting as well. So amidst all the doom and gloom, maybe there's a few sort of bright spots in amongst January.
You mentioned Rowe there, of course, and the other player that transfer for in January that we haven't mentioned is Stephen Taylor. Likely to see those this weekend. Is Taylor perhaps more likely than Rowe, or will both of them probably be on the bench and maybe make an appearance late on?
I think Rowe's definitely the latter. He'll be on the bench. I mean, they signed him, I think, or recently he's had a bit of a minor hip injury which kept him out for a couple of weeks training wise, so he's not fully up to speed. He's training, he's available for selection, but I don't see him going into the starting lineup just yet. Taylor, potentially, depends whether they play three at the back, four at the back. He certainly is talking a good game at the moment, says he's fit and raring to go. He's put his injury worries behind him, and he can't wait to get back out there at the moment. And I think as much as his ability, they need his leadership skills out there at the moment. You know, they need a few more talkers and motivators out there, as well as Luke Chambers. So I think I probably would put him in my team for tomorrow at the moment, yeah.
We've spoken a lot throughout the time we've been doing this podcast and throughout the season that what Town have really needed this season is a striker after the sale of Daryl Murphy to give them more firepower up front. We've also spoken a little bit about the right-back position and a little bit more balance in midfield, obviously Skews and Douglas being the main partnership for much of the season, and Town needing something a bit more creative. But certainly with how things appear to be going in the transfer window, with rumours about Christophe Berra, rumours about Luke Chambers as well, what's the future like for Town's previously fairly solid and regular defence? Because if those two players are going out the door in the summer, then suddenly it leaves Town a little bit short at the back, with probably only two senior recognised central defenders in Tommy Smith and Adam Webster, and suddenly going back to having not many options there. Is it looking like actually in the summer that the main area that Town are going to need to look at is strengthening their defence?
Yeah, I mean, it's a real changing of the guard situation coming up for Ipswich at the moment. That sort of senior core of the team from that playoff year is splintering pretty quickly. Perhaps we underestimated. I know we kept talking about the whole being worth more than the sum of the parts that year, but obviously Tab and Anderson moved on after that season. Murphy has obviously gone. We're now looking at Chambers and Berra probably both moving on in the summer. I mean, that leaves Cole Skews left, really, as being sort of one of those senior figures. Yeah, and of course, question marks over Mick McCarthy, really, as well. So, to me, it feels like perhaps Marcus Evans knows that, you know, the Mick era is coming towards its natural end. The way Mick's talking at the moment, it certainly feels like that. maybe he's kept his powder dry to the summer and thought that, you know, maybe a new manager will be wanting to mould his own squad, and that's why they've not jumped at giving out these extra options on the contracts. I don't know, but it's certainly a big change, and as I said earlier, I think it might not necessarily be a bad thing for a major freshening up and changing of the guard at Ipswich Town. Things have gone pretty stale over 12 to 18 months now, but there's still a big job to be done over the next 6 months, and with so much uncertainty and so much potential for negative momentum, they've got to make sure they get things right before they get to that point.
And very quickly, just to finish off with, obviously we've spoken a lot about the players that did come in and the players that didn't go out, but what about the players that didn't come in? Jordan Hugill deal talked about for the entirety of January, obviously never came off. The same with other players that Town were interested in, such as Marley Watkins. Are Town being priced out of the market? Because we've already spoken about Jordan Rose, although he's there sort of, we think, officially on loan at Sheffield Wednesday at the moment from Middlesbrough. A fee of £10 million is being talked about, and Wolves were spending £13 million on Costa as well in the January transfer window. How on earth do Town compete with that, whether or not Marcus Evans is keeping his powder dry for the summer or not?
Yeah, I have limited sympathy on that front. Listen, the money at the top end of the division is bonkers, as Mick would say, but there were deals going on in the price bracket that Ipswich were operating in that sort of £1 to £2 million bracket. QPR have signed Matt Smith for £1 million. You know, if Ipswich were looking for a big target man with a bit of champion experience, he would have fitted the bill. Wigan have gone out and spent £750,000 on Omar Bogle from Grimsby. Bristol City have signed Matty Taylor from their neighbours Bristol Rovers for, I think, £300,000 clause in his contract. So there were players available in that sort of bracket. So when sort of the club sort of hides behind the fact that, you know, there's these mega money going on at the top end of the division, and there is, and no one's expecting Ipswich to compete with £40,000-£50,000 a week wages and £7, £8, £9, £10 million transfer fees. But I don't think it was too much to ask, 4 months on from Daryl Murphy going, that, you know, they could have had something, you know, lined up and a list of targets, and one, you know, for one of them to have come off. Okay, Murphy left only a matter of days before the August window shut. It was difficult to rush something through then, but they've had plenty of time to prepare now. It's been pretty apparent that they needed a Daryl Murphy replacement. Not just the goals, but I think his style of play and is integral. You know, that hold-up man is integral to the way they play. I really feel for Brett Pittman at the moment. It's a thankless task for him, fighting and scrapping and battling away up there, because that's just not his game. And they didn't manage to do it. So I think fans have got every right to feel frustrated by that.
You just mentioned Brett Pittman there very quickly. Could perhaps a new front partnership for Town be Moore and Pittman? Would that be more suited to Pittman's game if Moore was in there as the large target man?
Yeah, Pittman's going to be far better with a big man up there with him. I mean, he must think he's playing a different sport at times from when he was at Bournemouth. He was that sort of number 10 in the hole, clever little link-up player, and Mick's kind of tried to sort of turn him into that sort of target man at times, which he can do reasonably well, you know, and he tries his best at it, and he does win his fair share of aerial balls, but it's just not his game. You know, the other week I saw him try a little clever sort of scooped pass over the top, and no one else sort of read it, and he threw his hands up in frustration. So they've just not got the mix or the blend right. As you said earlier, the central midfield partnership mix of that's not been right with Skuse and Douglas. The fullbacks have not quite been right in terms of sort of linking up with wide players. Not got those partnerships going on around the pitch as they have done in the past. And so, yeah, maybe Pittman will be better up front alongside a big man.
There we go then. Well, there's plenty of options for Mick McCarthy this weekend, so you never know what the match against Reading might throw up. But that's all we've got time for on this week's Sleeping Giants. We'll be back again next week to review whatever does go on in the match against Reading and hopefully get a little bit more insight into what Town's latest signings are like on the pitch. Thanks to Stuart and thanks for listening.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.